This is a special presentation by the Radio Players on WSIU.
Tonight, the Radio Players board a luxury locomotive back to the 1920s England for a tour into terror, as aristocratic ladies cover the miles in the comfort of the Etoile Filante. Only a peer of the realm suspects the horror that may await them. Hop on if you crave more of the fiendish plot being hatched. All aboard. But first, let's meet the cast.
I'm Steve Falcone, and I'll be the narrator.
I'm Kevin Rathundi, and I will be Lord Shipley.
I'm Elizabeth Donahue, and I'll be Dame Augusta.
I'm Kelly Rathundi, and I'll be Lady Liddy.
I am Trisha Burns, and I will be Simone.
I'm Peg Falcone. I'll be Kitty.
I'm Christopher Thundy, and I'll be Baron Bart.
I'm Eric Billingsley. I'll be Jacob Basco.
Danger on a Train, a radio play by Steve Falcone. Scene 1, 1924, the Roaring Twenties, the golden age of luxury transportation. No longer were trains meant only to haul goods to market. Those steel wheels were now transformed to posh hotels, providing every comfort to creatures of comfortable means. The elite train we're aboard tonight is the Etoile Filante, shooting star in English. One needn't pronounce the name correctly, so long as one can afford the fare on this state-of-the-art locomotive steaming across countries of several well-bred nationalities within. Debutantes, dowagers, and dutiful wives escorted by barons and lords, as no lady traveled unchaperoned in these mannerly times.
Whistle sounds give me the shivers. So melancholy. Must they make that sad sound at every crossing? We are an express, after all.
Well, I believe the law requires as much, my dear.
Lift's brandy glass.
Why not try one of these, love? Take the chill off the night, I quite guarantee.
And flush my complexion to the shade of a railway warning sign like yours, dear?
Well, my face is ruddy from the life spent in the wild.
When was the last time you were out in nature? Pray tell.
Well, what chance has a chap got to pursue the hunt when he's trapped inside an infernal iron horse?
It was you insisted on chaperoning me on this journey, which I expressly mentioned was a ladies' outing, if memory serves.
Of course I did, Gussie. Can't have a gaggle of females traipsing about the continent unescorted. Neither safe nor proper, I dare say.
For God's sake, Ollie, it's 1924. The Victorian age is long past. You must get up to speed.
Well, what year it may be matters little to thieves and cutthroats preying on the innocent in greater force than ever.
We ladies being the innocent, I presume. Weak and defenseless creatures.
Oh, take offense if you will, my love, but I'll not see harm come to you while I might prevent it.
While your gallantry is duly noted, there is Lady Lydia's young and able son, the Honorable Bart, aboard to watch over us.
That pup's still wet behind the ears, and other places, I'll wager.
Ollie!
Well, forgive the crude reference, but if you imagine that lad has the mettle to ward off true danger, well, then I fear your judgment is strongly skewed.
Oh, no, Ollie.
Now, later, whenever, that lad is over his head in such a mission. Well, as I'm no longer needed here, I shall repair to the bar to work on my ruddy complexion.
Shakes a glass empty but for ice at his wife and moves toward his destination, passing Lady Lydia on his route.
Oliver, how good to see you.
With a mumbled,
"M'lady,"
Lord Shipley moves past Lady Liddy as she continues on a rendezvous with Madame Augusta, who smiles and greets her with a hug.
My dear, you look radiant.
Glancing back.
Is something the matter with Oliver? He rumbled past me with hardly a word. Not like him at all. Is he well?
Well is a mutable state with his lordship, Liddy. Pay the old Warris no mind. With a gun or a glass in hand, he's fit as a fiddle. Cramp him up in a compartment with his wife and her brood, you get a grouchy out-of-sorts ogre.
How well you understand the man.
Lord knows I've spent eons observing the manners. My lord of the manor.
Aren't you the clever one?
If I were truly clever, I might have given some forethought to awakening Simone in a timely manner.
Just there you go too far, my dear. The woman is French. Little short of explosives could oust her from her chambers before noon.
Let us have no mention of such unpleasantness, my dear.
Lady Liddy takes Dame Augusta's hands.
Forgive me, Gussie. I never meant to give you a fright.
Pay me no mind. I'm being silly. It's just that...
Go on, dear.
Dame Augusta lowers voice.
There's been a danger of late.
What sort of danger?
Dame Augusta makes lip-zipping gesture.
Ollie's sworn me to the strictest secrecy. Government business. Very hush-hush.
Lady Liddy nods gravely as Gussie blurts out.
There was a plot last week to blow up Parliament while the House of Lords was in session.
How dreadful!
It was uncovered in time and foiled. Thank God. Though the terrorists were never captured, I fear it was my dearest Ollie they meant to harm.
Lady Lydia hugs Gussie.
How you must have suffered with worry.
Sleepless nights have been my lot of late, with the days little better. Even now I fear possible treachery aboard this very train.
The ladies hold on to each other as a stunningly beautiful woman, a bit disheveled, stumbles down the corridor toward them.
Pardon my tardiness. I must have café or die.
Good Lord, Simone, what a state you're in.
At present, I could not tell you what country I'm in. The wheels simply roll beneath me.
More like they've rolled over you.
Really, Liddy, a little decorum. Though you do look a fright, Cherie. Would you like me to have my maid attend to your tresses?
Simone runs a hand through her luxurious locks.
My hair has a mind of its own, stubborn, pig-headed, like the head beneath. What can you do?
Did the person beneath those curls have an adventurous evening?
Comme ci, comme ça.
Any fun?
Toujours.
Suitable company, I trust.
Mais oui.
Care to define the term?
Any gentleman with the means to purchase fine champagne and the strength to open it.
Simone!
A lady does not drink alone.
I should say not.
Perhaps in her chambers.
You've shocked us quite enough for one morning, mademoiselle.
Café is essential pour moi. There is little time to lose.
A hearty English breakfast will right this ship. Eggs, ham, bacon, bangers, beans.
No. The very words turn me green.
Oh, but my dear, you must eat something.
My system insists on no solid food before midi, at the earliest.
Dame Augusta's reply is cut short by the clatter of high heels down the corridor, a diminutive blonde dashing breathlessly toward the ladies.
Hello, hi.
Yes, we see and hear you, dear. Do slow down before you do yourself harm.
I was afraid I'd missed our rendezvous. Awfully sorry. Lateness is my curse. I was always marked tardy at school.
Rendezvous?
We were all to meet for lunch in the dining car.
That is the best place for lunch.
I'm sorry. Kitty Cantwell. American. Does it show? Suppose it must.
You are the only Yank on a continental excursion. It's to be expected.
True. So true. That's me. I'm the Yank. Peter is, too. He's my husband. Supposed to meet him here, but business. Always business. Would you listen to me rattle on? I clickety-clack more than those wheels. Oh, hey, look. I guess I got everything fouled up. I usually do, so I'll just say, pardon moi.
Starts to leave.
Mrs. Cantwell, wait. We were all exhausted from the journey yesterday, and no doubt fuzzy. I most certainly was. You were correct about the luncheon and the invitation. Do please join us. Your company is most welcome.
Really? You mean it?
Of course we do. It will be a right treat to get a Yank's take on matters.
It must assuredly be kismet that I booked a reservation for four.
I'm famished.
I pray they have chilled more champagne.
Scene two. The ladies are seated at an elegantly appointed table, watching the countryside fly by. Wine has already been brought to Simone, who gulps it down in a most unbecoming manner. The English ladies sip tea. Kitty has a glass of orange juice before her, as yet untouched.
Do tell us more about yourself, Mrs. Cantwell.
Gladly, if you'll call me Kitty.
Kitty, then, your husband is not traveling with you, I take it. Tell us about him.
He's a love. He truly is.
How refreshing to hear a woman speak so of her spouse.
He must be très riche.
Simone, how rude.
I only meant the gentleman must be generous.
He is both, in abundance, generous and rich.
How delightful for you. What is his business, madam?
Really, Simone?
Ever heard of Peter's Pretzels?
Pardon?
Cantwell's Crunchies?
I'm sorry.
Don't be. We haven't quite gone worldwide yet, but we will. That's why Peter's over here, I think, to push his product. They really are delicious. I'm not just saying that. Everybody does.
Pulls pretzels from her handbag.
Care to try some?
Ooh.
No.
No. We've ordered luncheon.
Of course. I get so excited talking about pretzels. Just silly.
Lady Liddy puts a hand on Kitty's.
Not at all, my dear. I find it utterly charming how keen you are for your husband's work. I wager you're a great asset to his enterprise.
I'm more trouble than I'm worth.
Oh, I very much doubt that.
I envision you diving headfirst into his twisted dough business.
Would you like to see a picture of Peter?
Why, of course.
Kitty pulls out snapshot, lays it on the table.
Isn't he handsome? I know, I'm shameless, but isn't he devilishly good-looking?
So familiar.
How so?
Lady Liddy pulls out photo of an exact likeness and puts it on the table.
He is the spitting image of my Henry.
How wonderful. Are they twins?
Henry has no siblings, as far as I know.
Oh.
Simone pulls out photo of exact image of Peter and Henry.
Would my Claude make them, how do you say, triplets?
Scene 3. In the bar car of the train, Lord Shipley is sharing a whiskey and conversation with Lady Lydia's son, the Honorable Bart Benson. Bart lifts glass in toast.
To your very fine health, Lord Shipley.
And yours, Honorable.
Oh, call me BB. Everyone does.
I'd rather not. Now, I shall stick with Bart, if you don't mind.
Suit yourself, your lordship. I personally find all the formality of peerage tiresome and just a little silly.
I do not.
Not to each his own.
Indeed. Are you out and about on business other than chaperoning the ladies?
Oh, Mother dearly loves travel and is deathly afraid of its dangers.
Quite right she is, to be ever so cautious. Why, nothing but the highest admiration for Lady Liddy. Splendid example of British aristocracy.
Raise his glass.
God bless and keep her.
Mum's a wonder, to be sure, if a tad shaky on her pins these days.
All the more reason she should be provided the closest of attention.
That's why I'm here.
Which regiment did you serve in the Great War?
Pardon?
Oh, sorry. Just calculating your age. 25 or thereabouts?
Don't rush me, your lordship. Not yet finished with 24.
Didn't miss by much, though. Old enough to serve.
Still in knickers at school.
Well, I was not yet 16 when I ran off to the Boer War.
Well done. Bloody bold move, if a bit mad.
Ah, precisely what the mater thought. The old fellow kept a grim countenance. Oh, for mater's sake, secretly proud all the while.
Proud Papa, eh? Must have been some bloody show.
Savage combat, that. Maniacally devoted to their cause, those buggers were. Saw too much carnage for a lad my age. Why, any age come to that.
Sounds horrid.
Yes, quite horrid.
Rattles ice and glass, barman appears to refill.
Wouldn't wish such an experience on man nor beast. Well, you're well out of the hell of it. Do you carry a sidearm?
Never have. A deuced fine shot with a field gun, if I do say so.
Not much good indoors.
Well, don't hunt much indoors these days. I haven't since I was 7 or so. Little need for small arms at present.
Lord Shipley rattles ice.
Depends on what one's hunting, I suppose.
Suppose it does. I say, my lord, is there something on your mind?
There is. Damned weighty business at that.
Leans in.
Now I relate this matter in the strictest of confidence.
Bard finger to his nose.
Hush, hush.
More than that, lad. Highly classified. There are terrorists at large.
No.
Yes. Threat to the very nation. Bolsheviks, or their minions, that's MI5's best guess.
Bloody hell.
And just what those devils mean to stir up?
Glimpses up and down.
Well, we have reason to believe that they're on this train. Must keep a steady grip. Wits about one at all times. Now you can fire a pistol, I assume.
Why do I get the feeling that I'm being tested?
Because you are, man. The test of a lifetime.
Well, school days ended for me some time ago, my lord. Not well, but finally over.
What lies before you is quite a bit more important and dangerous than passing Latin grammar. Literally a matter of life and death.
Well, I handle myself just fine, thanks.
And those ladies that you chaperone, my wife among them, can they count upon your protection? Huh. I think not.
Your words wound me, sir.
Slams glass down, shatters it.
Words are but air, boy. True wounds are what we're dealing with here. Eruptions that shatter and scar. Roast those in their path. Why, there are bombs in our midst, intent on blowing us all to kingdom come.
Perchance my lord is a bit overwrought. Worked into a lather for naught.
Am I?
Scene 4. Lord Shipley hovers over his wife. Bard stands haplessly by as Lady Lydia weeps. Simone slugs from a champagne flute. Kitty paces in the background.
Really, Ollie, I'm perfectly fine. It was you I feared for. After all, your coach was much closer to the explosion.
It's a mercy no one was harmed. Do you suppose it was but a warning to unnerve us?
Shouldn't think so. This lot is vicious. Impassioned amateurs to have blundered in such a catastrophic fashion.
To be clear to those uninitiated in such matters, dear.
The damned fools mistimed the charge and blew up the baggage car.
Thank the Lord!
Absolument.
Damn firework by the fire brigade, lads. Why, the baggage coach is disconnected and doused, leaving us free to continue.
No sign of those red devils, I'd wager.
Seems they weren't stupid enough to linger, having set a timed charge at the train's inception point. Still, one never knows. Eternal vigilance and all that.
There remains a curiosity to be unraveled, hopefully.
Indeed?
Most upsetting. Surely a mistake of some kind.
Best we lay our cards on the table, ladies.
One by one, each produces the exact likeness of her husband. Lady Liddy lays down photo.
My Henry.
Father, of course.
Kitty lays down photo.
My Peter Pretzel man. I'd know him anywhere.
Simone lays down photo.
He is exactamon image of Claude, Mon Mary.
All three of these esteemed ladies with an exact likeness of a spouse. Can you fathom that?
Yes, actually I can, my love. Why, that's the face of Charlie Barker, international weapons thief and smuggler, notorious for his willingness to do business with threats to the crown. Why, he's enemy number one in Britain.
My Henry?
Peter knows nothing but pretzels.
Claude would not harm a fly. He is a big, how do you say, chou à la crème, cream puff.
Are you quite sure, Ollie? This all seems so implausible.
Oh, little doubt in my mind, dearest. Why, I've studied that picture too many times to be uncertain.
How could you not have seen him at one of our socials? Wait, was he ever in attendance?
Lady Liddy sniffles in the hanky.
How could I have been such a fool? I granted him such leave due to the vital nature of his work for the government. Or so he told me.
Well, undoubtedly true. Just for the wrong government.
A rotter!
Bartholomew!
Well, I suppose he is that and more.
Kitty, tears stream down her cheeks.
He seemed to live and breathe pretzels and me.
Liddy hands her a hanky.
Always gone. Always on business, I thought. His accent was more American than mine.
He accompanied you on this trip?
Yes and no. He saw me off at Victoria Station, but said he had to take a later train for business purposes. What a snake he's been. What a dolt I am. Blind all this time.
Tears flow.
I was duped by a cliché, believing there was another woman. Tried and true misbehavior of a Frenchman. Several times I considered having him tailed, but lost heart. I was an idiot for the wrong reason.
You mustn't blame yourself, Cherie.
But of course I blame myself. Only a naive simpleton would be so easily deceived, present company included.
Lady Liddy and Kitty, not agreement.
Damn shame, the whole sordid business, ladies, but we must look ahead to the brute fact that a mad killer is loose and more dangerous than ever.
Do you think so, my lord? I'd have thought he'd turned tail and fled by this time.
Hardly. His mission drew a blank, and I'd imagine that Jacob Bascom, that's the name MI5 has for him, is keen to right matters at any cost to life or limb.
You mean to say that fiend might still be lurking about with evil intent?
Oh, I'd be willing to wager in it, Lady Liddy.
The door between coaches flies open and Bascom appears. Jacob Bascom, pistol in hand.
Never bet with a peer of the realm, dear.
Scene 5, all stand frozen, staring down the barrel of the terrorist's pistol.
How the deuce did you elude all those bobbies?
A little agility, a lot of concentration. Silence is a powerful weapon. You should try it sometime.
You cheeky bugger!
Shooting an unarmed man? Despicable!
I shoot women as well, as you'll soon see. The old order's rapidly changing. Not that any of you will live to see it. Forgive my bluntness. Haven't a lot of time. Let me see. Who's next? You, of course, Lord Shipley, were the prime target. I suspect you knew as much.
Yes, I did. Now, see here. Is it absolutely necessary to harm the ladies? For God's sake, man, you're married to three of them.
Never let emotion rule the judgment. Assumed you knew as much, old man.
Yes, well, they knew so little of this business.
You're telling me? Creatures reared with blinders, absolutely unaware of life. Childlike, really, to so simple to have bamboozle. But let's hope we have more alert females in the new regime.
You insolent swine!
Bart gets it in the shoulder.
You do seem hell-bent on being dismantled bit by bit, my lad.
Such a brave one with a gun in hand. Barehanded, your son could tear you limb from limb!
Thanks for the vote of confidence, Mum.
Touching maternal concern. What say we dispatch with Mummy next?
As Bascom takes aim, Simone drops to the floor, drawing the terrorist's attention. Too late to stop the woman from whipping a small caliber pistol from an ankle wrap and plugging Bascom in the shoulder. As Bascom grabs his arm, Lord Shipley leaps at him, knocks him to the floor, snatching up Bascom's weapon.
Kill him, my lord! Send that fiend straight to hell where he belongs!
Then I should be no better than he. No, a code of honor is what keeps us a civilized nation.
Turns to Simone.
Well done, you. Bravo for the brave lady.
Beware a woman scorned, especially a French woman.
Lord Shipley to Bart.
Observe the value of small arms.
Yeah, lesson learned, my lord.
Sound of bobbies arriving.
We have the terrorist responsible for the bombing. He must be delivered to MI5 with all haste. Oh, and medical attention for the Honorable Bart Benson.
Nonsense, my lord. Flesh wounds. What's truly wanted here is celebration. To the bar car. I owe Simone a bubbling
As do we all, I believe. Would you lead us in, Ollie dear? You know the way so well.
You've been listening to a special presentation of Danger on a Train, an original radio play written by Steve Falcone and performed by the Radio Players. This production was recorded live in the WSIU radio studios. Post-production sound design by Hanice Coopwood. Listener support is what makes WSIU's support of the arts possible. We are powered by you.